So we haven't seen him in a little bit of time, but we are happy to have him back, and he's going to be making the walk on May 31st. It is Colton Canaston, alongside his daughter as well. We're happy to have her as well. Colton, it's great to talk to you, man. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I appreciate your time for sure.
I do just need to make sure that I've got this right. Is it Kinniston or is it Canaston? I've been told both.
It's Kinniston.
Kinniston.
Kinniston. It's way easier than people make it look. Nobody says it right. It's totally cool, but it's Kinniston.
Well, I am so glad because I've been saying Canaston, and I apologize for that because typically what we try to do is make sure that the last name pronunciation is perfect, but certainly we didn't do that last time out, but we'll make sure to get it right for May 31st.
It's totally cool. I'm totally used to it. I've done it my whole life.
Well, I guess first thing to kick things off is this is going to be your first walk in a little bit of time. How have you been feeling leading into this one?
I've been feeling great. Everything's been going well since the last time I fought. I've stayed busy in the gym. I've stayed busy outside of the gym as well. Just really tried to keep my head in that training space constantly. I kind of live and die there. So I feel great. Everything's been going really, really well so far.
You know, you're one of the longest tenured pros, but you have had large gaps of inactivity. And I'm curious, have you always stayed in the gym throughout all these years that you have been on for fight camps, but also seemingly out of fight camps as well during those times?
Yeah, always. I had my own gym for a time where I actually trained up some guys who had fought for Fierce in the earlier days, back when they were doing shows in Price. So I was always involved in martial arts in a training aspect, or whether I had my own space and was coaching for a little bit. I've always stayed within this space, kind of more in the shadows for sure. But that's kind of how I operate best. But I've always been in the gym.
What was that like owning a gym? I had no idea that you owned a gym in the past.
Well, it was really, really small. It was just a small little thing in Heber, Utah. And because I was living there at the time, because at the time there was nowhere for me to train. So I hit up with a friend of mine. His name's Micah Goga, and he runs a gym out there. He does strength and conditioning, trains a lot of athletes. He's great. And I was just like, hey, I need a space. Can we rent a space out together? And so we did. And initially it was just so I could train myself, just so I could have a space. And so I was like, I'll do this, and then I'll open it up to see if anybody else wants to. Like, I'll come and show them what I know. I'm not, you know, at the time I was not super knowledgeable, but I had been in the sport for a while and I had been doing mixed martial arts for quite a bit of time. And then people just started showing up, and then more people started showing up, and I had kind of a dedicated crew, and we just kept training and training. And then, you know, they wanted to start taking fights, and I said, sure, absolutely, we can do this. And I just reached out to Fierce, Cody Bunnerson at the time, and made it happen. And those guys did really well. Some of them went on to train other places. I think like Simon and Jeff Prado, if you've heard of those guys. They started, they went over to the Pit, and they went over to Ajima quite a bit, and they've done really well. Haven't fought recently, but they did really well.
Did you grow up in Heber? Did you go to Wasatch?
No. I grew up in Salt Lake, and we were living in Heber at the time.
Very, very cool. I had no idea. So was this timeline, are we talking like 2016?
Yeah, it was like around like 2014, 2016-ish is, and then we moved up to Saratoga, and just with that drive between Saratoga Springs and Heber, it wasn't feasible to keep that gym going. So I kind of had to dissolve it, unfortunately, but it was a really, really good learning experience for me. And I think it made a really good impact on those guys' lives as well, the guys that I was training.
When did you get to Jeremy's gym? Because it seems like you've been a mainstay there for a while, but also I didn't know about this other aspect of your training.
My time at Jeremy's has been kind of from the beginning. Back when I started getting into mixed martial arts seriously around 2008 or so, Andrew Boquette actually pulled me in to that place because he was there a little bit before I was. And I always just find my way back home there. I've been training there consistently since we've been in Saratoga for about 5 years now. But before that, I trained like all through like high school, and then after college, moved around quite a bit. I was in Cedar City for a while, and then Heber, and then we're back here.
One of the big things I wanted to talk to you about was your relationship with Andrew Boquette. That is a relationship that dates back many, many years. And how did that all come to be? I know kind of Andrew's side of it, but I'm curious of your side of it, because there are, you know, differing points of view, I should say.
I mean, it's a bit of a long story for sure. The shortened version of it is that, like, he was my bully. So I started training Taekwondo back when I was a kid, and then to get away from bullying and build some self-confidence and just have a, you know, space. And then he walks through the door one day, and I'm like, oh my gosh, here's this guy. So I go to my master at the time, Master Jack Markman. And he was like, okay, well, you've been here first. I was about halfway to my black belt at that point. And he's like, I'll leave it up to you. If you want him to train here, then I'll tell him he's welcome. If you would feel less comfortable with that and you don't want him here, I'll tell him he needs to go somewhere else. And so he left it up to me. And I just like, okay, well, maybe this, you know, training here will be a benefit to him, as it has been for me. And so I said, yeah, it's cool. It's totally fine. And then we started training together, and we've been training together ever since. And we were, that was like maybe 12.
Yeah.
I'm 34 now. And we've been training together constantly ever since.
Do you remember a moment where you both kind of had a mutual respect, where you forgave him, but he also gained that respect that he didn't used to have for you?
Honestly, it was probably just through like sparring matches and things like that. I mean, we were training together, and we were doing competitions together. We were traveling all over the state doing local and state competitions. So we're, you know, constantly training together. Whenever you're doing that, you're in that space and that environment, it just has a way of pulling people together. And then, you know, we're just like sparring together, and I don't know. It just, I can't entirely explain it, but it just has a way of pulling people together. Anybody who's trained martial arts for any number of time can tell you the exact same thing. You just build a sense of camaraderie with your training partners.
When you both fought September of 2022, was that the first time you guys had ever fought on a card together?
In a mixed martial arts card, yes.
What was that like to be able to compete on the same card on the same night?
That was like a huge bucket list thing for both of us, I think. It was very cool because it kind of harkened back to the days when we would travel all over together and do tournaments together when we were kids. So that was a huge, huge moment. Unfortunately, that night didn't go my way. That was a rough night for me, but he did really, really well. So that was kind of, you know, the results were kind of a mixed bag, but I was super stoked for him. And just being able to have that opportunity to do that was so, so cool.
Talking about that that relationship that you two had, did you ever think that it would extend out 22 years? Like you said, you were 12, now you're 34. Did you ever think that it would go on this long? Or did you think, oh, like, you know, we'll both grow separate, go on our separate paths? But you guys have ended up staying friends for all this time, and you guys train together and probably see each other just about every day.
Yeah, he's been super, super busy lately. And so I haven't spent as much time with him lately. We haven't talked much, but there's always kind of that connection. But never in a million years would I have thought that it would have ended up this way, like with, you know, with still training and still, you know, practicing and still pursuing the sport.
You talked about the 2022 fight, and I am curious because you had taken quite the break. It was a 7-year break, I believe, from fight number 3 to fight number 4. Is that fair to say? I think it was.
Yeah. That was a pretty big break.
I was coaching
at that time.
Yeah. What made you want to come back and compete specifically rather than just corner or something like that?
Like I said, I'm always in that training space, and I want to do this as long as I can until I physically can't anymore. It's just a sport that I love, and I want to compete. I was just wanting to compete just so I could test myself, so I could improve just my overall abilities. And the best way to test that is through competition, obviously. So that was the main force. It's just something I've wanted to do. And I just needed to kind of take that dive.
Is it a similar mindset going into this one as well? Like, it seems like this is, I believe, the fastest turnaround you've had in well over a decade. Is that the exact same feeling you have now? Is just that burning desire to go and compete?
Yeah. Well, like I said, after my last fight, last September, it was really, really rough. That loss was really hard for me. And I know, and anybody who trains with me could tell you the same thing, that I'm much more capable, and I believe I can do much better than what I showcased in that last fight. And it just kind of burns me that I can't, that I didn't do that. So I kind of a bit of a redemption thing just for myself. Just wanting, like, I can do this, and I can do this really, really, really well. You know what I mean?
What,
just kind of wanting to show that.
In what ways are you preparing differently so that you don't have a similar outcome like that first fight, or not like that first fight, but you, that last fight, I should say?
It hasn't been like a total overhaul in my training and what I do. But I'm a lot more focused when I'm at practice, and as opposed to just like, oh, we're just like sparring today and spar and, you know, move around a little bit. I'm much more focused on practicing and developing certain areas than I was before, as opposed to just, you know, oh, we're just going to practice and, you know, whatever. Now I have much more of a game plan. I'm analyzing more of my own strengths and weaknesses. I'm fighting at a lower weight class as well, which has been something that I think that I probably should have done in the first place, but I hadn't fought in so long. But now I'm well on my way to 145, and things are going really well for me in that respect. So that's kind of biggest thing, is just like really honing in on specific areas of my training.
I remember watching the podcast with you and Andrew when you went on with Jason and Zach when they used to run this, and with this podcast, I should say specifically. But when did Andrew's trash talk for you almost up the nerves in any way going into that fight? I've always wondered that.
No, not really. That's kind of his style, and you know, Andrew's going to be more brash and outspoken than I am, for sure. But that does, you know, that's more of his thing than mine. But no, that didn't really affect it too much, or make me feel like, oh, I have to perform because he said that, you know, he said all these things. Like that's more of his deal for sure. But it didn't really affect me too much.
Is there any
specific... I thought it was funny. I messaged him afterwards. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh,
but
no,
I messaged him afterwards, and I was like, yeah, he'll, sorry. He kind of runs his mouth, and I'm like, it's fine. It's a sport, right? It's part of the sport.
It's great. And Andrew is so good on the mic. And also, I think it just goes to show, you know, who you are as a person as well. Is there any reason specifically why you're not the brash one? A lot of fighters, you know, like to stick their chest out. You seem to be more so on the other side of that coin.
I think if I was to try and do that, sorry, I don't know if you can hear me. I think if I was to try and do that, it would kind of come off as inauthentic. Like, that's not really who I am as a person. And it would just feel unnatural for me, and I would feel like I was trying too hard, if that makes sense. I still believe very much in like the quiet confidence and like building yourself up in the shadows, as opposed to, you know, like you said, peacocking around and sticking your chest out and just being like hard and aggressive all the time. Like, that absolutely comes out for sure. But it's not in this space. And if I was to try and do that, it would seem inauthentic, I think.
As I looked across Tapology, SureDog, Combat Registry as well, I saw that there wasn't an amateur. Did you have an amateur career at all, or did you jump straight to pro?
I jumped straight to pro.
And how did that all come to be? Was it just like, I'm ready, and there wasn't really an avenue to go amateur back in the day? Because I've seen that with fighters who started early 2010s, late 2000s.
Yeah, that situation is good and bad. I wasn't training with Horn at the time. And I think if that situation, like if I would have been at Horn's, he obviously would have never like allowed or even offered that. But I was training with some other guys at the time. Who I was training with eludes me. It was just a dude out of his garage, actually. And I was young and naive, and I just kind of was like they just gave this opportunity. Like, hey, do you want to come and fight? And I was like, oh yeah, sure. And they're like, oh, it's pro. I said, okay, like that's totally cool. Like, whatever. I like the idea of doing that, not really understanding what I was getting myself into. But to be fair, I had some people that I knew that were like, hey, you shouldn't do this. This isn't a great idea. You know, you should build up an amateur career first. But I think I was just kind of allured by the idea of fighting pro. So I took it, and unfortunately, there's no going back from that. But and early on, I think that was a huge mistake, but it's kind of forced me to rise to that level, if that makes sense. Like, okay, like if you're going to be competing at a pro level, I've got to be way, way up here in terms of skill and commitment, which I feel like I've done, despite the fact that, you know, my record isn't great and I've had made some, you know, some mistakes. I'm still learning and I'm still growing, but I feel like I definitely have risen to the occasion on these things when it comes to like fighting at a pro level.
I know that you grew up doing martial arts. You mentioned Taekwondo as a kid and things like that, but how did you get involved in MMA? When did that opportunity present itself? And when specifically did you start training, grappling, and mixing in every other aspect that this sport offers?
It was around 2007, 2008, I would say, about the time when I graduated. I'd gotten my black belt, and I had done a bunch of tournaments around the state and around kind of like the West Coast and Taekwondo, and I kind of run the course with those. I'd like done all of them, done, you know, fairly well in others, and there was just nothing else for me to really do in Taekwondo that I felt like I could, that I wanted to pursue. And Andrew was like, hey, you should come and check out this spot. And so I showed up, and I happened to show up on a grappling day. And if you know anything about Taekwondo, there's zero grappling at all whatsoever. And so I was like, I walked in with like, oh, like I'm a black belt. Like I can hang, like this will be fine. And I just got thrashed by any random who was there on that Tuesday or whatever. And I was like a very real, like, oh my gosh, I absolutely know nothing. So it was kind of like this crossroads where it's like, do I kind of start over with this like this white belt mentality, or do I just, oh, this isn't for me? But obviously I decided to just kind of start over and started going to practice more and more and more, and just fell in love with it, fell in love with the grappling aspects, fell in love with the more fight oriented aspects of the sport.
Did you have a favorite fighter growing up?
The easy answer and the one that first comes to mind is Bas Rutten. He was always a hero of mine. It's kind of an old school take for sure, but I love him. He was, you know, he was a beast athlete. He had an understanding of technique and timing very early on in the sport, when I think a lot of people were still kind of bullying their way through victories and things like that. He had a huge emphasis on being in shape for fights and just preparing as much as you could. And plus, he was just hilarious. That guy was just awesome. I had book, like instructional books of his, and I would just read them and learn techniques from, you know, pictures in this book. So he was always like one of my favorites, if not my absolute favorite.
What do you think it was about MMA that kind of tugged at your heartstrings at such a young age?
Honestly, I don't really know the answer to that question. It's just something about the multifaceted way that the sport is. It's not one specific, like Taekwondo is, it's very, you know, kicking oriented and point scoring oriented. Whereas I love the idea of like, oh, we're boxing and we're kickboxing and we're wrestling and we're doing jiu-jitsu. I love all these different areas and how they kind of work together. So I think that really, really works well for me. I like that a lot about it.
You know,
I think that's kind of what drew me in early on.
You mentioned Bas Rutten. You obviously started this MMA journey a long time ago. Did you ever think MMA would balloon into the major multi-billion dollar sport that it is today, that so many people watch and talk about?
I mean, I always thought it was just like the coolest thing in the world. I don't think anybody really thought that it would become this. Maybe a few people did. I guess I shouldn't say everybody, but in thinking about what, like the UFC, for example, like what it is today, it's crazy to think like in like the 90s that it would become what it is. You know, I don't know if anybody anticipated it becoming a global phenomenon like it has been, in a multi-billion dollar money-making industry.
One of the big things that I've always wanted to ask someone from your specific gym is, what is it like being cornered by Jeremy Horn? Obviously a legend in the sport, but also one of the loudest and most effective corners, I would say, in the entire state.
The thing is with me, like when I first started training, I was very starstruck. I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, it's a legend, like you said. But I've known him for so long and I've trained with him for so long that for me, it's just Jeremy now. Like more of the person than the man, the myth, the legend kind of thing. So that part of it is kind of wore off. He's just more of like a friend and a coach, but I can't see myself learning from anybody else. Obviously I have, but when I think about like what I've learned from mixed martial arts and the skills that I have, I can attribute most all of it, if not all of it, to Jeremy. His teaching ability is insane. I've learned so much from him and I'll always be grateful to him for that. But he is a great corner, like you said.
Last question from me. What are you looking forward to in this fight against Brandon Hansvig? Obviously another vet who's been around for a long time. What are you looking forward to facing opposite him?
I am looking forward to showcasing what I can do and my abilities and how far I've come in this sport. Like I said, the last time I fought, that was not a good representation of my abilities. And that's my fault, not making excuses or saying anything against, you know, my opponent. I just know that I'm capable of so, so much more. And I'm really looking forward to showcasing those. And really, I'm just showing, you know, I expect, you know, Brandon to wage a war, but I will show him how wars are won.
May 31st, Colton Kenniston making the walk once again. We absolutely cannot wait for it. Tickets on sale at fiercefightingchampionship.com. Colton, thank you so much for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Blake. It's been great.